This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good morning, Rutherford County. Great morning this morning. We've got two great guests, two great friends. And we want to let you know that this part of the show is brought to you by Sims Auctioneers, David Gilliam and Larry Sims. And they invite you to an absolute auction this Saturday at 10 a.m. on Richland Road, just off of Old Woodbury Highway. Three tracks will be sold. Track one includes a 1,700 square foot, four bedroom home with garage and shop on 7 acres. Tracks two and three are both eight and a half acres with perk sites on each. Check out LarrySims.com for more information on the absolute auction this Saturday at 10 a.m. on Richardson Road, just off Old Woodbury Highway. That's LarrySims.com. I have Mr. Dan Whittle and Hooper Pinuel on this morning.
Good morning, Truman.
Good morning.
Always a pleasure to work with a radio star.
Yeah, Brian's over there in the corner, and Bart's over there also.
Brian,
but you're stuck with me today.
Bart's over there trying to get rid of the skunk smells that was on the radio this morning. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, it was quite an interesting show. He and Anthony Tuggle, I mean, they kept me glued to the airways the whole time they were on this morning, especially about the spiders.
Yeah.
You know, there's more spiders this year than I have ever seen.
Oh,
I killed 20
like
in my
it.
Basement yesterday.
What is that, arachnophobia? Is that what they call it?
I don't know, man, but I hate them.
Well, you better watch them because they're there, and they're the brown recluse. Most of them are, seems like. The big
Now,
spider.
That's not what Anthony was saying. This
oh, it
morning.
Wasn't?
No.
We've got them out in our neck of the woods.
I've got brown recluse.
The big spiders, you need to leave them because they eat the smaller spiders. That's what I've always heard.
Well, what does smaller spiders say
about that? The smaller spiders don't like it.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to be...
You know, a lot of politicians operate that way.
Well, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, the big
Would you like to elaborate on that, Mr. Whittle?
Politicians, you didn't mean that.
You know, we always have a lot to talk about when we get on. I'm going to let you guys pick subjects this morning. Let's go.
All right, Dan, it's your time.
Let's go Fisher House first.
All right, Fisher House
We've almost completed our donations. We're still needing donations, and if people want to make donations, they can contact me or Hooper, either one. But our big groundbreaking is September 13th at the York VA Medical Center grounds.
Oh, wow.
You are going to be invited, and WGNS Radio is going to be invited, as long with the mayor and a lot of the people who's
well, how
make
about
it possible.
Everybody, all the vets and people like
Amen,
that?
Amen. They'll be there.
That's They're right. the ones that need
and
to be.
If you go out there, though, and you look on Compton Road right off of there, you'll see that all the old buildings that were there previously are now down. And they're in the process of taking that material away, and it looks so much different than it used to look several years ago or even this year. But
this is going to be a 12-unit apartment unit, free. Mm-hmm. It operates like a Ronald McDonald House,
right.
But it's free to the veterans and their families while they're getting medical treatment at either York or the Nashville VA.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have shuttle service back and forth to Nashville. It's one of the best things that's going on in America now for our American veterans and their families. I've always had a bugaboo. We need to take care of the families as well as we do the veterans, especially in time of war like we've been in the
past 10
years.
And that gives the community and business a chance to give back to some of those people that have done so much for
and
our
this,
country.
And this speaks so well of our community, Truman, because in this troubled economic period that we've been through, going through, and heading out of now, hopefully, we've raised over $2 million.
That's amazing.
And in this day and age, that is America. We live in a very caring community.
Yeah, we do. I think that's one of the reasons Murfreesboro and Rutherford County have been so successful. Of course.
Well, it's always been that way, Truman. Back when we were growing up, there was always a place to go for help. I know I was able to get my swimming my life-saving badge through the Red Cross at that time. Didn't cost us a thing. It was sponsored by the city. And we went over to the old Central High School pool that used to be there, and that's where we got that. But there's just all kinds of agencies here that are willing to help. And it's a caring community, just like you said. But But the Fisher House is going to be something that Rutherford County can be proud of, and it will stand tall, even though it won't be a tall building. Mm-hmm. It just went out, and there goes our emergency thing.
It's always on this show.
It is.
Never
yeah.
on any other show.
Important. They
what
know,
does that tell them?
They know who's listening and how many people are listening. That's the reason they do it.
Yeah, Bart knows you well. I hope Smyrna gets some rain out of that.
You notice how it automatically interrupts, too, because they know Truman will never stop. So yeah. Could actually
oh,
get it
off. By the way.
I didn't see
I
that.
Wasn't going to stop.
By the way, did you roll up your windows in your car?
I did.
Okay.
And to finish up on the Fisher House.
Yeah, I think I was talking.
All
right. Go ahead, Will.
A few thousand dollars in finishing Tennessee's part of the commitment. Uh-huh. It's $2.5 million is Tennessee part. Hooper and I still remain available to come speak to charity clubs, civic clubs, churches, anyone that wants to have us out to tell the Fisher House story.
Uh-huh.
And we're still available for that. And
how can they reach you?
They can reach me at 785-6403.
Or 615-347-1672 is my cell number.
And they got phone service in Las Casas?
Well, we did when
okay,
I left.
Okay.
Now, this weather storm coming through, we may not have it.
Yeah.
And they
sure.
can call here at WGNS.
They call it here.
And we can get a hold of you guys.
Yeah.
Call Truman, too, and he'll be glad to forward it on.
And Hooper's,
I will be glad to.
Sure.
Yes.
And Hooper's phone number is on the wall down to Pool
it
Hall.
It is.
Too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So
we
can find
right beside the picture of Dan Whittle said, wanted,
yeah.
dead or alive.
Now, to give my friend Hooper some more accolades as if he needs it.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
Hooper has, and I, but mostly Hooper, we're getting ready to announce an all-inclusive Tennessee Journalism Hall of Fame.
Wow.
To be based at MTSU, of course, with the Journalism Education School out there.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to include... Radio people, newspaper people,
mm-hmm.
and electronic media people,
uh-huh.
and
the new
even,
media,
and uh-huh. even public relation types.
All right,
across the state.
Oh, it's going to be a big thing.
So, what are you going to have in there?
Well, what's it going to be?
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be a Hall of Fame where
are people
it'll be a
elected
virtual.
To it?
Yeah.
No, they're nominated.
Uh-huh. Nominated.
They're nominated by people who feel like their nominee is deserving of recognition due to their outstanding accomplishments in their field of endeavor.
Now, this goes all the way back to
how anybody, you know, who wants to nominate, it can go back to
Ray Duffy,
Grantland Rice.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
All of those.
Yeah.
A minor Bragg.
Yeah.
So there's a
John
lot of,
Bragg.
Yeah, that's big time.
John Hood.
Yes.
That's right. He is old, too, by the way, but that's okay.
And Mr. Siegenthaler out of Nashville.
Senior or junior?
Senior.
Senior. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it's something that, and the beauty of our Hall of Fame.
Who was the one that's over the banner? You didn't say the one over the banner. You said the Journal. I mean the Tennessean.
Yeah, the.
You worked for him, didn't you?
Anyway, let me.
He doesn't admit it.
That's
right.
But anyway,
what Stallman? Is that right?
Jimmy Stallman.
Yeah.
Yep.
The last day that Jimmy Stallman was publisher, he came out, lit a whole wad of firecrackers. And threw it out in the newsroom because he said he wanted to make us jump up one more time. We had two World War and Korean War veterans mm-hmm. in the newsroom. They both went under their desk. Jimmy Stallman, he was a good newspaper publisher.
But it's going to be a great thing. We're working on our website right now, mm-hmm. which will go live probably in the next 2-3 weeks. We're working on that, and it will give folks information as to how to get in touch with us, how to nominate, and but
are
anyway,
you going to form a committee to actually go over
this will be
it?
Done by
oh,
the
yeah.
board. That's
yeah,
exactly
we're in,
right.
We're in that process right now.
We have about 19 members that are on the organizational committee, mm-hmm. and it involves...
Chamber of Commerce is involved. The mayor's office is involved.
Business people, local people, educational people, and people from the professions. Mm-hmm. So
plus this is a good built-in public relations thing for Murfreesboro and MTSU, because this will advertise Murfreesboro and MTSU through the journalism Tennessee Journalism Hall of Fame each year across the state, because, you know, we'll be having news announcements and selectees from all across East, West, and Middle Tennessee. So it's a great PR bonanza for our town.
Well, you know what would be unique, both of you guys, is to take journalism and over the decades show how it has changed from being a locally pretty much initiated, the news were initiated right there locally, and how it has grown to where it is right now. It's an entirely different ball game.
There's some movies that were made back in the 30s and the 40s about the press, how they went to press, and how the people didn't like what they were saying, and they bombed the press room and the newsroom, and it was a constant fight or battle between those that were going to press.
So in the 1960s, as recent as the 1960s, a newspaper publisher got bombed and burned out in Crossville, Tennessee. Of course, back in the around the turn of the last century, Carmack and the boys got in a feud and was shot down on the streets of Nashville in a political feud.
You know, that old saying, the power of the pen is mightier than the sword. Yeah. That's true. And I had a good friend of mine, his name was General Carl Wallace, over in Lebanon, who was adjutant general, told me when I first came
here.
He had a newspaper. And he went on to be the longest serving adjutant general in the state of Tennessee, and I think he has that record to this date. But he told me, he says, Hooper, there's one thing you don't want to do. There's two things. You don't pick a fight with a skunk that we talked about this morning on the radio, and you don't pick a fight with people that buy ink by the barrel.
Right.
And
you're
that
exactly
is
right.
So true. If people will remember that, they can get along.
You can read a book called The Hopewell Box, and it gives the history of the newspapers and politics during the 30s and the 40s and on up in the 50s, and it pretty much tells the competition of newspapers controlling things that go on in communities and all across the state.
And politics as well.
Yeah.
You know, we think politics is rough now.
Yeah.
Back in the 30s and the 40s and the 20s, it was rough back then.
It was rougher than calling you a scallywag dog. I mean, they got after it.
Yeah.
And,
but that's...
It just shows you sometimes how powerful an information source can be if people believe in it. But you're starting to see a change now where people don't always believe what they read they're a little bit more aware in some respects.
The editors always wanted to make sure that you have your facts right.
Yeah.
Get your facts right. Know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Know about 50% more about what you're going to talk about when you go to interview somebody, because that way it's very important. But, you know, some people just didn't go by that rule. They never let facts get in the way of a good story. And some of those folks might have come from Kanawha, Missouri, somewhere.
What does he always say? He believes in the creative realm.
Exactly. That's what it is.
My wife spells it R-A-M. You know, in the old school journalism, which was what I was brought up under, in the traditional straight news store. And I learned something at the Banner.
Yeah.
But anyway, we were required to go to 4 and 5 different sources and give all the viewpoints we could find on the subject that we'd been assigned to cover. And I still believe in that formula.
Did you ever get painted in a corner where people wanted to know your source and you would not give it up because you had given your word not to give your source up?
Yeah, by a district attorney in Missouri. My deep throat was his legal secretary in his office.
Uh-oh.
And I had the information about this murder and murder trial subsequently, and I was being fed by her. And he threatened to put me on the witness stand, but I would never have gave her up. I didn't give her up.
Well, you know, where was it? Was it in Washington or one of the major cities where a reporter broke a big story? Mm-hmm. And it was all over the place. Come to find out, he didn't have a source. He made the whole thing up.
Yeah. Have you ever done that? And that hurts us all. No. that hurts us all. And the fact that the news media has, and we deserve a certain amount of credibility loss, but it hurts America when our news media suffers, and it's very important that we keep the news media free and open and no controls.
By the way, that guy that did that is no longer working in the field. It doesn't take but one time for him to get his glory, but after that, it is not true and the facts are not right. He's gone.
You know, there's one thing about it. They say take your own personal feelings out of it and don't be, like Dan, creative toward your particular end. Mm-hmm. That's impossible to do, isn't it? Because you see it in almost...
Well, you're doing it yourself.
They don't come... They will not push themselves away from their particularly political leanings or...
You've got to be objective.
Yeah.
You've got to be objective.
But you can't, can you? It's hard. Almost impossible
it's
to
hard.
Be objective.
I have something I want to talk about this morning. It involves my personal feelings. I covered the walking horse industry here for 20 years at the Daily News Journal. And the walking horse industry now, with this recent wave of soaring tapes and being made public across the nation, they are reportedly boycotting this little restaurant called Midway Cafe, the industry.
Yeah, right across the county line into Bedford County.
Uh-huh. They're reportedly boycotting that little cafe.
It's a nice cafe.
And it is an awesome breakfast. Mm-hmm. It's the best Saturday morning breakfast that me and my roving breakfast bunch crowd goes to every Saturday morning, and we rotate around, but it's one of the best breakfasts in the country. And Bill Crowder, the owner, is one of the most hard-working men that I've ever seen, and he's allowed the walking horse industry to distribute free newspapers and free racks for 18 years in front of his business, and then them turn on him. Seems to me the walking horse industry in this troubled times that they're in, they need every friend they can get.
That's true.
And they're boycotting him allegedly over the fact that he would not buy a $40 decal that he could put on his door.
That wasn't a very smart thing to do, was it?
No.
To boycott him for something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as he's still a friend, just because he doesn't put money toward whatever venture they have.
Well, Dan almost got boycotted out of the state just about when he wrote that story about the soaring issue. And I think along those lines, we don't have enough investigative reporters right now.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are all passive. A lot of them are passive. They just report the news, and they don't get into the whys, and they don't do the research or don't have time to do the research. But we need to get back to some investigative reporters, which in the long run...
As long as it's done fairly and up above board.
You can do that.
Because there's a lot of people who lose their good name... And parts of their integrity because of overzealous reporting.
You've got to know
also
what you're doing. Mike Wallace was one of the best investigative reporters.
And one of the toughest.
He was tough, and he was known for being tough and asking the tough questions.
Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
All right.
Didn't mean to get you when you're right.
GNS, this is a weatherized severe weather alert.
Severe thunderstorm warning for Rutherford County. Let's find out more from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Meteorologist Paul Trombley is watching this storm, which is affecting northern parts of our county, it looks like, Paul.
That's right, yep, in northern Rutherford County. Under a severe thunderstorm warning until 9:45 this morning. And looking at the activity kind of located near the Walter Hill area and then northwest of Walter Hill, as this line is actually moving to the east-northeast at about 15 miles per hour. It's going to take it up into kind of western southern parts of Wilson County as we head through 9:45 as it pushes out of northern Rutherford. We're looking at potential for hail, could be up to quarter size with this storm activity, maybe some winds to 60 miles per hour may be the main concerns at this point. So at this point, that severe thunderstorm warning up through northern Rutherford County, also into western Wilson County, and it's in effect till 9:45.
What about the rest of the day today? I understand we're kind of in that slight risk category. Could see some on and off again scattered showers and thunderstorms, right?
That's right. Yeah, going to be kind of periodic, kind of in and out through the day here. And a few of them could kind of turn up to some severe hail and some wind potential.
All right, Paul, thank you very much. Let's check the news at 9:30.
Jim Williams flooding in East Tennessee last weekend still has some Washington County residents cleaning up today. Torrential downpours have moved some homes off their foundations, even out onto roads where they had to be torn apart. Health officials have warned folks living in flooded areas not to drink well water or eat vegetables from gardens since they could be contaminated with waste. Washington County Emergency Management says that's because floodwaters destroyed or overwhelmed residential septic tanks and washed out chemicals stored in barns and garages. The flooding even rerouted streams in some places, including Dry Creek. A Rutherford County kidnapping in the mid-state didn't turn out the way the potential abductor planned because the intended victim got away.
Murfreesboro police are investigating the attempted abduction of a young girl. Investigators say the 16-year-old was walking Tuesday night when she was pulled into a white van by her hair. The girl was reportedly able to hit the man and escape.
CRN's Dan Item. A longtime Vanderbilt employee is in trouble after cameras caught her taking dozens of newspapers, tossing them right into the trash. Those papers were the Out and About Monthly, geared toward Nashville's gay and lesbian community. And following an anonymous tip, Mount Juliet police conducted an undercover prostitution sting at local massage parlor Better Bliss. Turns out they found what the tipster claimed, workers there performing illegal sex acts in exchange for money.
Hello, I'm Roger Barlow from the Catfish Institute. Today I'm with Alabama's 2012 Catfish Farmer of the Year.
Thanks, Roger. I'm Kent Holich, a catfish farmer from Bologie, Alabama. I want to take this opportunity to thank each of our loyal consumers for choosing U.S. farm-raised catfish. Whether at the grocery store or at the restaurant, demand only the best U.S. farm-raised catfish.
This message brought to you by the Catfish Institute. For more information, visit uscatfish.com.
This is the Tennessee Radio Network.
Federal prosecutors say criminal charges against Gibson Guitar Corporation will be dropped because of a deal reached Monday. Gibson will also contribute $50,000 to promote conservation of protected tree species.
Kenny Britt is meeting with officials at the NFL offices after being charged with driving under the influence. The DUI charge was Britt's eighth run-in with police since he was drafted in 2009.
When you need to know, depend on TRN, the Tennessee Radio Network.
Nashville's skyline may change again soon.
A local developer wants to build a skyscraper shaped like an acoustic guitar in downtown Nashville. Travis Kelty says he's in talks with two anchor tenants wanting to move into Nashville and is determined to see his idea become a reality.
TRN's Tanya J. Powers. More music news. Great Smoky Mountains National Park says Saturday afternoon at the Sugarlands Visitor Center, a free event will showcase traditional Southern Mountain music performed by Sparky and Rhonda Rucker from 1 till 3 Eastern Time. And in sports, Titans receiver Kenny Britt says he's ready for whatever punishment NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell gives him following his latest run-in with police, a Fort Campbell DUI arrest last month. Jim Williams, Tennessee Radio Network News.
Next is the Better Business Focus with Terry Page.
Roto-Rooter Plumbers of Rutherford, Cannon, Bedford, Warren counties is a full-service plumbing and drain cleaning company providing residential, commercial, and industrial services. There are no trip charges, no contracts, or clubs to join. Roto-Rooter technicians are trained to serve, not to sell. Roto-Rooter, 890-3905, an individually owned franchise by George Weiss and Mike Watson.
Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name.
And legal troubles.
890-3905.
Have you ever thought about who decides if a product or service meets the customer satisfaction test? Who decides if the business performs better than others? It's not the business, but the customer. Our business community knows their customers decide if they have met the test. Customers, when you have a concern, don't go away. Give the business a chance to resolve your issues. This is Terry Page with your local Better Business Bureau.
What you play in there?
One of my favorite games of all time.
What's that?
The new Monopoly Instant game from the Tennessee Lottery.
You mean like pass, go, and collect $200?
No, I mean like win instantly and collect $250,000.
With tickets starting at just $1, you could be an instant winner when you play the Monopoly family of games from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun.
Wow, you could buy some property with that.
Yeah, maybe even something on Tennessee Avenue.
Yeah.
Monopoly is a trademark of Hasbro and is used with permission.
And now for the $1 million question. What would you do if you won $1 million? Not sure?
Well, you could ask Matthew from Memphis, Kathy from Knoxville, Georgia from Jackson, Charles from Nashville, or any of the 91 million dollar winners across the state. Because since its inception, the Tennessee Lottery has sold 91 tickets worth $1 million or more. And the numbers keep growing. So hurry out today to play the Tennessee Lottery. And millionaire number 92 just might be you.
Okay, Jose, Tex-Mex cuisine.
Hola, amigos. This is Sergio from Okay, Jose. I'm the manager. Come join us. Come try us out. We would like to earn your business. We make everything fresh from scratch. Come go and join us for a good quality meal.
Here are today's specials at Okay, Jose.
Bring your kids in. It's Kids Meal Thursday for $1.99.
Stop by Okay, Jose on South Rutherford next to Walmart. That's the Thursday Kids Meal Special, $1.99. Dine in only. And tonight is karaoke night from 8 to 11.
From WGNS, this is a WeatherEye Severe Weather Alert.
Severe thunderstorm warning remains in effect until 9:45 for northern Rutherford County. The storm moving on toward the Wilson County area right now. And we want to say congratulations to our good neighbors of the day, Ted and Betty Conrad, receiving flowers from Ryan's Flowers and Gifts. Couple always helping their neighbors, the person nominating them says. And if you have a birthday or an anniversary announcement, you can give us those every morning. We give away a cake from Junior's Foodland each day.
That update brought to you by Safe Auto. You had an accident and the guy's bloodthirsty lawyer wants to sue you. How would you protect yourself? You'd call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO for affordable liability insurance. Drive safe, spend less. Safe Auto.
You've known him for years. Now you can visit with him every day. It's The Truman Show, continuing right now on WGNS, AM and FM.
And welcome back with us. And we want to mention home care. And Rutherford County is full of older adults dealing with the challenging of aging. According to the National Family Caregivers Association's latest data, Tennessee has nearly 600,000 adult sons and daughters struggling to provide family caregiving to their aging parents. We know that as people age, they often have to deal with health and mobility issues and sometimes living alone after losing a spouse. While many do not need a companion 24/7, ongoing assistance with transportation to church and doctor's appointments, help with laundry and housekeeping, and even personal care can provide the independence so many want and need. And Melissa Warren saw that need, so she established Home Care. And they do all of those things to make sure that you can still maintain the independence of your home like you have worked for and you deserve. Give them a call at 713-4639 or pull them up on the internet, www.athomecaretennessee.com. And you can go over their place of business at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. And that's At Home Care. Right. Let's see, Daniel Boy, you were wanting to go in a direction.
Yeah.
Mr. Dan Whittle, of course, and Hooper Pinula here.
I've been called many names down through the year. The child safety thing with people leaving their children backseat of automobiles. Issue. And, you know, there's adult discipline and there's children's discipline. Mm-hmm. And there's something we all need to think about. We've had two deaths in this county in mm-hmm. August. We've had a death in Davidson County in August. There's eight states that's had deaths in the last 2 weeks. Children being left behind in the automobiles during the hottest time of the year. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make a lot of sense. But when you get down and study it in modern times, mm-hmm. A lot of people make this fatal mistake.
Just think when you get back in your car and you've been out of it 30 minutes or an hour and all the windows are up, and it's like going into an oven and you need instant relief. You put the windows down, you turn the air conditioner on. That's the only way you get relief off of it.
And it also brings to mind there's some safety tips that I looked up on the internet. It says as far as the back seat, people can put something in the back seat so you have to open the door when leaving the vehicle, like your cell phone, your mm-hmm. purse. You still carry a purse, I guess. Mm-hmm. A handbag.
Every a manly purse.
Every child should be correctly restrained in the back seat. That's a state law. Mm-hmm. Perhaps put a stuffed animal belonging to the child in the passenger seat next to you in the front seat. and move it from the car seat to the back seat to the child when you get out of the car. Ask your babysitter or child care provider to call you within 10 minutes if your child hasn't arrived on time. Focus on driving. Avoid cell phone calls and texting while driving, which takes your mind off of your business at hand. The most important thing about your destination in that automobile is your safety and your child's safety. Focus on your driving. Every time you park your vehicle, open the back door to make sure no one has been left behind. And that includes school vehicles, daycare vehicles, just some ideas and everything. But while we was off the air, y'all got into discipline of children in the schools. I believe you had a record for being spanked in one particular school year.
I went through 7 paddles in one year.
What grade was that?
It was the 5th grade.
I have the school record back in Missouri. I got seven paddlings in 2nd grade, and 3 of those came within 15 minutes of one another.
Did you tell me that you had a permanent seat then in the principal's office? Did you tell me that?
Yeah.
I think you did.
It's called the Whittle seat.
The Whittle seat.
I went down there one day, and I was in so much trouble, I faked having a nervous breakdown, so the principal had mercy on me and let me off that particular time. But anyway.
There's that creative realm again.
While they were whipping you in Missouri, did they get sometimes confuse your head and your rear end?
I was voted most mischievous of my class. I'll admit it. 12 out of 12 years out of 12 years. But anyway, I went back to my old school a few years ago to speak at the reunion, and one of the teachers brought up, who not knowing who I was, I asked her. I said, "Who's some of the most mischievous kids that's ever came through this school system?" I was second on the list.
Oh, you were only second, huh?
Well, 25 years later.
And, well, I don't mean to interrupt you, Will, but when we were going to Mitchell,
there'd be a lot of dead air in here if it wasn't for Hooper, wasn't it?
I tell you what. Once we got out of Mitchell Nielsen Elementary School, Truman, you and I. We went to Central High School, which is over
Great
on Main
memories.
Street.
Yes.
Big school, I'm telling you it was. And we got introduced pretty quick. The rumor was, he said, you don't want to go. Homer Pittard, I think, was the principal.
I was scared to death of him.
Mr. Pittard was a big fella.
Yeah.
And he had a big paddle in his office, too.
I never saw it.
I never did either, thank heavens. But you could watch him when you go down the hall, and he'd be looking at you. He wasn't smiling either. He was looking. So you better do right.
That intimidation meant a lot inside that school.
Yeah, he was like 6'7", a big guy, big fella.
I may be old-fashioned, which I guess I am, but I belong in. I believe in discipline.
Oh, I do too.
100%. To spoil the child. There's a lot to that. Our grandparents and parents, they knew what to do.
Well, I have been in seminars before where they were trying to teach officers how to deal with situations where when a child was spanked or supposedly beaten and things like that. And I can tell you that a lot of the things that were taught were not accurate. Parents still have the right to spank their children.
That's right.
They just don't have the right to abuse them. No one has a right to abuse anybody else.
I know.
But you have to take each situation different, and just because people think that the child may be... I have seen situations in the past where a child would actually threaten to call the sheriff's office or Murfreesboro PD or Smyrna PD or whatever if their parents spank them. And that is totally absurd. The old spanking rules are still around.
They're still around, and they were when we were growing up. And if we did something wrong, mother would send me out in the yard and said, "You bring me back a little switch. About so long, and it better be right, too, or we'll have to whip you a second time." Well, I knew what was coming. When I got that switch back to Mama, she would hold one arm and put that switch in the other arm and just make me go around in a circle on my little legs.
Remember those days.
Well, I tell you what. But you know what they do now is they take away the computers, and they take away the iPods and the iPads if they do something wrong.
Yardstick will work.
That's
good.
That brings up the subject, taking away freedoms and taking away this and taking away that. How do you guys feel about the new election laws where you can't
I am totally blown away by the new election laws, because elections, voting is a right and a privilege, and it's something when you're a citizen of the United States, then you should have that opportunity. And I know that you have to have, a person has to be ID. Of course, they send out the cards. Of course, the cards don't have photos on them, mm-hmm. but that's what we've normally used mm-hmm. in the past. And now they've got the photos that have to be federal or state photos. They will not take city photos. They will not take county photos.
And I think
I ran into that this past week. And if anybody has ever been through getting a Tennessee driver's license, one of the most harried things that you have to do is go over to where they issue the driver's license to get a photo, and you fill out the paperwork, and then you go through the computer system, and it is one of the toughest things. If you're of any age where computers are not comfortable with you, it is almost an impossible thing. And then having to go through the long lines. Mine, just to get mine, was 2 hours long. And to sit there and wait for all that, and I finally got so disgusted, I went up to one of the ladies, and she took care of me. It took a while, but she mm-hmm. did take care of me. But as a person, I think it's age 60 or 62, mm-hmm. I can't remember. 60. You can mail it in. You don't get a photo, but you still have a valid license. And the funny thing about it is, if you're stopped, you don't have a photo on that license, so they don't know you any more than when you mm-hmm. go to the mm-hmm. to the voting precinct to vote. But yet, like, my wife couldn't vote because she had a picture of herself at her place of work, Murfreesboro Electric. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows us in the community. Mm-hmm. I couldn't vote because I had the retired driver's license, retired law enforcement picture. And it was signed locally, they would not let me vote, but it said State of Tennessee on mm-hmm. the top. Mm-hmm. And it is so strange.
It seems like they're making it so much harder
know
for
you,
us to vote.
People, right. It's supposed to be just for identification only.
Right.
When you go to a precinct where everybody knows you.
Something to compare your face with
right,
the picture.
Right, right. And you got the election card. It just looks like that there's a large portion of our population who have spent many, many years giving back to their communities and have been citizens, good mm-hmm. citizens their whole life, and voting is such a precious, precious thing to be able to do. They're having that right taken away from them by people who are making decisions at the federal level. And in some situations, a state level. So I don't understand why all of that has happened. I'm having a hard time dealing with this.
Well, I think you're exactly right. I'm not an expert on it. I did work.
Of course, you were over the election commission.
About 10 years, I was mm-hmm. administrator. I had a 5-member board that I reported to. The chairman was Johnny Taylor. And he was a great chairman. We always worked good together. We had our differences, but we still worked good together. I was not a yes man, and I always offered alternatives to some of the things. But anyway, we're going to break for a commercial.
We got a phone call.
Okay.
Caller, welcome aboard.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good morning, Butch Campbell.
I'm only going to say one thing, so, and then I'm going to let y'all have it. There were those parents who used switches, as Hooper would talk about, and then there were those people in the neighborhood who used onions.
You didn't have to bring that up again.
And they stuck your nose, didn't they, Butch?
I never miss an opportunity to talk about the. Well, I'm not going to say bullies because they weren't bullies. Then,
us guys that were a little bit older than you, and old Butch was always there, and he would be doing something to aggravate us, so we gathered up on him, and now he can gather up on us in one hand. So anyway, time bout's fair play.
I don't remember it being we gathered up on him. I remember it being one person that gathered.
No. Oh, Lordy mercy. How you doing, Butch?
I'm doing very well. Hey, I've enjoyed your comments about the switching and whatever, and I can remember before I retired even having parents to call and say, will you please spank my child if I can't do anything with him?
Exactly right. We had a good neighborhood over there in the Clark Addition, didn't we?
Hey, we had a very good neighborhood. We sure did. But y'all keep on and talking about the election laws and everything else that comes up.
All right, Butch. Thanks for calling.
See ya.
And we want to let you know right now that part of the show is brought to you by Murfreesboro Automotive. And when you need car repairs, you want someone you can trust. Murfreesboro Automotive is that place. Chuck Haynes has a staff of certified technicians that can fix anything from the simple oil change to major auto repair. Murfreesboro Automotive is the only place you need. Murfreesboro Automotive, turn off Broad between Chewy's and Chili's on Ridgely Road.
Are you 10 pounds overweight, 30, more? Those extra pounds are hurting the quality of your life, your relationships, and your health. Dynamic Medical Centers offers fast, effective, medically supervised weight loss programs. Patients routinely lose up to 30 pounds in their first 30 days, and our programs are easy to follow with no hunger, no surgery, and no trips to the gym. For a free weight loss consultation, call 455-0850, dynamicmedicalcenters.com.
Roberts Discount Auto Repair, quality automotive repair service at honest, fair prices on Broad Street, across from Ford of Murfreesboro.
When was the last time you got a professional oil change service? Our technicians will thoroughly inspect your car or truck before you hit the highway on that big trip. We also carry BG products to maximize your engine's performance.
Honest, personal, and professional service for your car.
Roberts Discount Auto Repair on Broad.
Across from Ford of Murfreesboro. We care, and we're here to help.
This is Dr. Kelly Buckles with Laser Therapy and Chiropractic Center. With licensed massage therapists who have advanced training and experience with chiropractic patients, we achieve faster and longer lasting results. This is Dr. Kelly Buckles with Laser Therapy and Chiropractic Center. We had our first workshop Tuesday, July 31st and had a great attendance. Our takeaway was, we are not what we eat, we are what we absorb. Our next workshop will be August 30th. We'll be discussing pro-inflammatory versus anti-inflammatory dietary choices.
Call 217-8624 for more information today.
We make important choices in our lives every day. You owe it to yourself to make an informed decision about where to receive cancer treatment. The Cancer Center at Middle Tennessee Medical Center offers the area's only accredited program. That means it meets the high standards set by the Commission on Cancer. We consider it a blessing to provide you with the very best care available. To locate an MTMC physician, call 284-LIFE. Why choose any place else?
Great time for fishing here in Middle Tennessee. This is Randy of Murfreesboro Outdoors inviting all of y'all to come by and pick up your supplies. We've got rods and reels and line, artificial baits.
Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street.
Like you're going to Smyrna, we're half a mile from Thompson Lane on the right.
He knows Rutherford County, and he knows the people of Rutherford County. Truman Jones, here on WGNS AM and FM.
And welcome back with us, and one of our good friends, Mr. Larry Ralston and Al Gordon, we want you to know about their photography shop. It's at 315 Hickerson Drive here in Murfreesboro. And Al Gordon, who is a master craftsman, and Larry Ralston, a certified craftsman, and of course they're both local guys right here in Murfreesboro, are the most awarded studio in the Middle Tennessee area, operating a full-service photographic studio in Murfreesboro. They specialize in the good things, the weddings, the high school seniors, and the family portraits. Their work is classic, and yet they have a creative edge, kind of like Dan does. Al was even awarded the Grand Award for the best wedding image in the world. Gordon Ralston, they look forward to meeting you, and they will treat you like family. They're really, really good people.
Real photographers,
yes,
too.
Yes, they are. Yeah, great, not like some people. Other artist I know. Okay.
Good. Okay.
Where are we now?
I don't know.
We were talking about the election, voting.
We were talking about the voter ID law, and according to some information that I dug up yesterday off the internet, and it was posted August the 2nd this year, which is pretty current, there's a lot of debate going on about whether the voter ID law nationwide is right for the people. Their debate, yes and no. But this came from a judge, U.S. District Judge Alita Trauger, and she says, that he ruled that she doesn't believe the city-operated library law, which they were trying to get passed, and she denied that, comes within the language of the state voter ID law, which was passed last year. But here's where the statute and its GOP authors stumbled over their justification of the law. The judge said parts of law make no sense to the court, and it does appear there will be an unfair impact, particularly to the elderly. Now, other reports say that this law affects the elderly, the minorities, and the youth of our nation. And if you go back to 2008, which is a little less than, a little bit more than 4 years ago, most of the people that voted, there was a huge amount of youth that voted. Universities voted using their identification card from the various universities. They didn't have pictures on them, but it was a substantial amount of numbers that voted during that election. Well, they can't do that right now. They can't use their student ID. Yet students who are enrolled in Tennessee school, college, university for at least 6 months can obtain a hunting license. A hunting license. Hunters can use their license. As a group, hunters might be more likely to support Republican candidates, is what this report says. College students more likely to vote Democrat. So, you know, this is reports that I read online in a country where there's involved in the political process, frequently limit low voter turnout in many elections. It's the minority that elect.
You know, it's amazing.
It's not the majority.
It's amazing that evidently they didn't do much research when they're trying to find out what would give a person a right to vote and be properly ID'd. Because you take Murfreesboro Electric here is one of the best known and one of the best operated parts. It's not exactly city government, but it works with the city government. And yet you have to know that individual because they have all kinds of background before they can ever get the job. And then they have the photo there. But you take somebody, and I used to be an avid hunter, but you take somebody that has his picture on a hunting license, I mean, what all has been done to give that person a right to hunt and have their picture made on there? I mean, what kind of background is done
exactly
on that?
Right.
It's just none of it seems to have any forethought as far as
hunter's license,
working with that individual to be able to vote.
The bottom line is, gentlemen, we have had no excessive voters fraud in the state of Tennessee, or the U.S. for that matter, less than 1% voters fraud across the nation. Why did we need these laws?
You know, what made the legislators pass this law? It's just unbelievable as to how it came about and what happened so quickly after the 2008 election. There's only about 12 or 13 states across the United States.
As an election commissioner who was over the election here, you know as well as I do, one of the things that you try to do is to make sure everything is above board, but you also try to make it simple, uncomplicated for people to go over and cast their votes, because that's one of the things that everybody always preaches. We want everybody to get out and vote.
We had a way.
But how are you going to do that when you keep people from being able to do that?
You keep them from voting. And what we did, if somebody didn't have their ID, we didn't send them home after the ID. We let them sign an affidavit of identity, which they're going online, they're going on record and saying
by law
that they can be punished up to, I forget what it was, I am who I say I am.
Right.
And they find out where he is, and they let him vote. So that was the simple way to do it, but it's not simple anymore. They require you to go get one, and you got to have a bank statement, or you've got to have an electric bill, or you got to have a passport. You know, I don't think the people that are suffering from this will end up with a passport. Now, they may, but I don't think they will.
One state is considering abandoning early voting. Well, as a senior citizen with some health issues of my own, early voting is crucial for me because I can pick and choose the days I feel well enough to get up and go to the polling place in early voting. And that's another crucial point that's going to be coming down the pike as an issue in our political arena.
Well, our elections are important. I would encourage everybody to vote if they have the opportunity to vote all the time. This last election, it was not very many people that voted.
Mm-hmm.
Apathy, voter apathy is there. And what apathy means is you're not interested in the election. You don't care. You don't have any concern one way or the other. So consequently, a small amount of people come out to vote. That's not the way it should be. And years ago, across the way, when the democratic process was founded and came about in some of the foreign countries, people would walk days when they were allowed to vote. They walked days to get to a polling place so they could vote. So we need to step up to the plate here in the United States, and everybody that has the opportunity to vote should be able to vote. And that's important for our success.
I'm 68. I've never missed an opportunity to vote. I know I look 68? Younger. I know I look younger than that, especially when compared to you guys. But I have never missed an opportunity to vote that I know of.
Well, I hope you keep a photo somewhere, and I hope it falls within the guidelines of state and federal photos, because otherwise you're not going to be able to get to vote unless somewhere around somebody gets a bit of compassion and a bit of feeling about other people's rights, and give the people that actually deserve to vote a chance to vote, and don't take certain segments of the population and eliminate them. That's not what this nation's built for. Exactly. We have a caller on the line. Caller, welcome aboard.
Good morning. I just appreciate y'all being on. I listen to you a lot. I'm one of those election people that work and volunteer their time, and I just want to remind everybody that the people out there that's working the polls and they're doing the machines and the registrars and the officials, it's a long day, and all we have is what they teach us and to follow the law, and we just can't. We have to do the same for everybody.
Do that. You did that when I was administrator, and a lot of these people, they work hard and they don't get enough money, but we know it's a long day and you're doing the best you can, and we just appreciate so much what you're doing for the community.
I just want to make sure everybody understands that we get there. You know, you have to be there at 6 o'clock, and you can't leave until the last person's vote that was standing in line at 7. And although, like you know, Mr. Jones said, I mean, we appreciate his service to the community, but unfortunately, we have to do the same thing for everybody that walks up. And I just want to comment that and say, you know, give a shout out to all the people that work so hard during the election.
Unfortunately, sometimes that doesn't happen all the time, but I would say the majority of the time it does.
But when a system is set up that they have to follow the guidelines strictly,
that's it.
Then they're doing their job.
They're doing their job
doing
exactly.
But it's not them. It's how the laws are set up.
How the system is set up
to how a person votes.
It's a lawmaker issue.
Uh-huh. It is exactly.
It is. Well, I just want to say that, and I appreciate it. And y'all have a good day.
And you too. Yeah, that's where it's sometimes people unknowingly maybe are not as nice as they should be, and I'm probably one of them.
Well,
when something comes up that affects me that I know the system is not right,
sure.
Then we need to look at where the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is not with the workers, with the election
sure.
commission. It's with the guidelines that are laid down.
We always had and offered the opportunity for anybody that was concerned about what happened at the poll to
right.
come to the election commission and address your issues with us, and that was always proper, and it was always there, and that we had several people to come up there and talk to us about some of the things that they experienced, and that's the only way to find out what's going on and what's wrong and how we can improve. So. Good deal.
Yeah.
Hey, this has been a good show, Truman.
Always
I've
is.
I've enjoyed talking
guys.
About this, and I'd like to come back sometime and further our conversation about the elections. It's important to the voters. We've got a big election coming up in November, and it's important that people understand the process.
Yeah.
And
We'd be glad to talk to you a little bit more about that.
Well, I appreciate it, Mr. Abbott, and you too, Mr. Costello. I really do. It's been a great show.
I'd like to offer sincere condolences to Mike Lawrence's dog that has to go around with him. I understand you and Mike used my name in vain yesterday on the radio in public and everything.
He was complimentary.
To Mike Lawrence's dog, I offer condolences for having to go around with Mike.
I tell you what, it's a great book.
I can't wait to get my hands on his book.
Out of the darkness, into the light, Mr. Mike Lawrence. Well, we'll see you guys tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Can't wait to see you.